With my first pregnancy, it was with my son Miles, and it was my first child and my husband Jesse's second, or sorry, third, but it was our first boy. So we were very excited about it, and we had only been married, I think, a few months at the time when I found out that I was pregnant. It was around Christmas, so to announce the pregnancy to my husband, I gave him his goodie bag, and one of the items was a fortune cookie, and when he opened it up, it had the date of his, like, when he was supposed to be born. He was really excited. I was so excited. Everything's kind of a blur with the first one after having three. But it was unexpected. I remember crying a lot when I found out that I was pregnant just because we weren't ready for it financially, emotionally, or any part of our lives was ready for a child. But after calming down, I started to slowly come around and get more and more excited. Once I found out that we were having a boy was when I was really, really excited and looking forward to it. The other kink in the story came when my husband had been arrested for a DUI about a year ago, and his court date had been postponed. So I was about 4 months pregnant when he went to go serve a 4 month term. Yes. So, and it was in the middle of summer. It was really hot. We were in our first house at the time, which was a two-story house. So, if you can imagine a 4 month pregnant woman, from 4 to 8 months pregnant, I was home alone with my cat, who was my roommate at the time. I would just hang out with him, watch TV. I became extremely unhealthy. No one was there helping me or monitoring what I ate. And plus, I had been on a diet for 20 years of my life. And so I just went crazy, like four Hot Pockets in a sitting, watching marathon of Law and Order SVU. I went a little overboard. And then also, going to work full time and then trying to visit Jesse in prison. It was somewhat embarrassing the first time I went there. I am obviously pregnant, standing in line with all these people, visiting my husband in prison, and thinking, oh my gosh, my poor Korean mother, what is going on in my life? But Jesse, so by the time I had been able to get approved to see Jesse in prison, I was probably about 6 or 7 months pregnant. So he saw me at 4 months and then jumped to 6 or 7 months later was the next time he saw me. And he was just like blown away at how big I had gotten. And we weren't allowed to touch each other either. So his natural inclination is to, touch my belly, try to feel the baby, but he couldn't. We just sat across the table from each other talking for an hour. I'd go home and I would just try to like make time just pass by until he was released. And then my mom was also very encouraging because she said, you're going to be strong through your pregnancy. You're going to have a very strong son. You have to make sure that you're not letting the stress get to you because that's going to affect your baby and his temperament. So just stay positive and be happy and hopeful. And so that's what I did throughout the whole pregnancy. And then when Jesse was released, it was only a few weeks until I was due. During that time, I tried everything possible to go into labor, but nothing worked. We walked around the mall. I think I might have taken some castor oil. I did everything that they told you to do. And then finally, I was like, all right, we're just gonna have sex. Just get it done. Let's just do it. And like, no, it's like the most unromantic sex ever. I'm just huge and uncomfortable. And he's like behind me, like all like mortified himself. And then I went into my doctor's office and she stripped my membranes. It's some medical thing. They strip your membranes. Google it. She checked my cervix. I wasn't dilating properly. And so I was 2 weeks overdue when she finally scheduled to go in to the hospital and force my contractions to start. I received a Pitocin drip, which would get my contractions going as they waited for me to dilate. They broke my water because I was going into labor during that time, so the contractions were starting. It was a really uncomfortable situation. I've always been a very private person, but I guess, shyness kind of like goes out the door when you have doctors coming in and out, checking your vagina, teams of people you've never met before, 12-year-old med students coming in looking at you. I'm a pretty open person physically at this point in my life because of all those experiences. But I didn't go into labor, so the C-section was scheduled. I was really disappointed about it just because I wasn't really comfortable or happy with it, but because my water was broke and the baby was already in the birth canal, I had to just go through with it. So I felt like it was the best option at that time. I was really scared. First of all, the hospital is really, even though it's a place where people are supposed to heal and get better, it's a really cold and sterile environment. So what you're seeing visually is counterintuitive to what you're supposed to be receiving physically and on the inside. So it's kind of hard to process visually like that. I am receiving healing when you feel like you're basically in a cell, you know, and without any like natural light or any like color. And then also people are so used to this process who are working with you. The nurses and doctors are specifically assigned to the maternity ward. So you kind of feel like just a number that's going through the system as opposed to a person that they're taking care of. And they don't really explain things that well, especially for a first time mom. I would appreciate it a little bit better bedside manner, you know, as opposed to people just coming in, you know, like, oh, we're going to do your drip. Here's your IV. You're going to put in your catheter, you know, a little bit more of a conversational or personal level of care would have been better. So I was already nervous from that. By the time it was time for my C-section, I was stress level 10 with everything that had been going on. But the doctor came, and from the point that my C-section was scheduled, everything just flowed so quickly and everything just happened. And I think it was about 45 minutes tops from the time that they had scheduled my C-section to the time the baby was due. My doctor came in, and what she had me do was hold her and lean on her. And the anesthesiologist went into my lower back. They cleaned the area, and then they put in the drip somewhere near my spinal cord. It was a spinal tap, I think was what they called it. And then so as I lost feeling in my body, I could just rest on my doctor, and then she laid me down. And this table was like what I imagine the crucifix looked like, because that's all that they offer you. That's all the space that they provide, is a long beam down the center with two beams going down the side that your arms are supposed to be laid out on. So then when they laid me down, they put a sheet between me and the doctor team so that I couldn't see. But my doctor did note that there was a mirror behind me in case I wanted to watch them open my stomach, pull out my guts, and then also rip out the baby. No, thank you. I remember I started getting a little bit loopy because I think they also provided me with a bit of morphine because I was kind of anxious and stressed out at the time. The room is freezing cold. There's nothing in it except for all of the machines, the equipment. You can hear the beep, the music playing, the anesthesiologist behind me. Jesse has now entered the room. He's sitting next to me to my left, holding my hand, but he has a clear line of sight to the operation that's about to happen. And everyone tells me that we're ready to go. I'm kind of delayed because of all the drugs that I'm on at this point. And so I speak up and I'm like, oh wait, Jesse, has it started? Have they started yet? And he's like, oh yeah, it started. Apparently they're already like 5 cuts in at that point, but I couldn't feel anything. And then I was so anxious just knowing what was going on. And it just smelled like medicine in the whole room. And it was freezing the whole entire time, and which I could just feel kind of on my face, but not the rest of my body, obviously. And then they're cutting. Jesse's looking. He's squeezing my hand every once in a while, I think, as stuff happens, but I'm not really processing it to the level that I should. And then all of a sudden, I hear Jesse go, oh my gosh, I see him. I see him. And then I hear this like little like cry, and it's Miles, and they've pulled him out, and I look over to the left of me quickly as they're taking him over to get cleaned off. And there's a lot going on. The doctor's telling me that the baby's healthy and that everything's fine. And there's a lot of scuffle going on in the room as they're like, I think, putting me back together, making sure that the baby's okay. And so Jesse comes over and shows me the baby really quickly before they leave. And I spend the rest of my time getting stitched up. And then I go into kind of like this waiting area. I think it's where all mothers receive their children. And I am so tired. And the first thing that they get me to do is try to breastfeed. But I'm falling asleep at this point. And so Jesse has the baby and the nurse comes next to me and she asks me, do you want to try to breastfeed? And so I'm like, okay, because that's what I'm supposed to do. And so I'm barely able to move my arms. And so Jesse kind of puts the baby in my arms. The nurse comes over and guides the baby to my breast. And I don't, at that point, like really know what's going on. But I remember one of the last things I said, Jesse was like, don't drop that baby. I'm like, I'm not. And Jesse's like, do you want me to hold the baby? I'm like, I think so. I'm like, you're so much better at this than I am. The hardest part of the hospital stay for me was trying to breastfeed. And there's so much pressure around breastfeeding. And there's not a lot of information or coaching from, I guess, a patient perspective. It's just, oh, you've got to do this and like, let's just get it done. So your main focus is just to make it work. But they didn't tell me that for the first few days, I was only going to be producing colostrum, which is the clear liquid, and that it wasn't going to be the creamy white milk that you're used to seeing. So I'm thinking that something's wrong. But my mom came and she told me to go ahead and just feed the baby formula. But I told her, I'm like, I'm not supposed to. I have to breastfeed the baby. And she's like, we're arguing because she's like, he's so hungry. In the hospital at this time, none of the nurses were encouraging me to give him any type of formula or supplement at all, until one night there was this Asian nurse who came in. She was like, do you want a little bit of formula? And I was like, yes. And she's like, it's okay, I supplemented with my children. And so she brought me some, which leads into the other part about coming from a different cultural background. Being an Asian American, it's kind of half and half. I take the doctor's orders when it comes to a lot of things. But then there are just some things that I trust my mom with based upon her experience raising children and what's worked for generations of women in the past. So I kind of have a healthy balance of, you know, I think parenting methods or styles based upon that perspective. But with Miles, everything was so great, and probably because the novelty of it being the first time and having all these new experiences, it was just more exciting than anything else. With Davis, he was also unplanned. I also cried. And then coming home and recovering was hard because I had the baby blues at the time. And also the incision from the C-section didn't heal that well. I was in pain. I was tired. I was mildly depressed, and I wasn't able to breastfeed. And also, I was living in Mesa, Arizona at the time. It was January, so it was cold, and it was dark a lot. And I was cooped up in this really small room. And this house was built in like the 1920s something. It's a really old home and the rooms are all really small. And we have a California king size bed. So I'm sitting in this room where all we can fit for furniture is our bed and our end tables, with really closed walls around us. And everything is kind of old, and I feel like maybe has like a little bit of a smell to it inside the home. The sheets are all old, like older and stained from our first child. and like kind of like not fitting that well from us putting it in the dryer too many times. And then the blankets are hand-me-downs from his grandma, so they're a little bit worn out. Everything's like a shade of blue, and it's dark outside. The walls are white, a little bit dingy from the yellow lighting. And I'm just laying in bed with this child 24 hours a day, and just my focus is just trying to get him to eat and be happy. And so I wasn't as successful breastfeeding Davis. I finally broke down and told Jesse that I just can't do it. I have to start supplementing. Because I started supplementing, my milk production went down, and so I stopped feeding him sooner than I would have liked to. And it also made me feel kind of guilty because I wasn't breastfeeding him throughout his early development days. I think Davis was like 4 to 6 months. I found out that I was pregnant with Connor. And that was the biggest shock I had ever received. I had gotten on some special birth control for mothers who are breastfeeding, but it had made me nauseous. My system wasn't responding to it very well, and so I stopped taking it. But I thought, surely I would not get pregnant so quickly after I had a baby, and certainly not a third time. So we found out that I was pregnant with Connor, because, you know, biology does work. And this time I had my tubes tied. But I went to a different hospital this time, and the experience was so much better than with my first and certainly with my second child. The staff was much more friendly. They took the time to explain everything that was going to happen. Everyone was just polite and friendly at this place. And they did not give me morphine or anything this time when I went in to have the C-section, which I think made a huge difference. There's a domino effect when it goes to the recovery from your labor and delivery, that it all starts with that first, delivery experience, and everything just kind of adds to it. So because I wasn't on morphine, I wasn't as tired, and I was clear-headed when I first received Connor. And so I was able to bond with him more quickly. I didn't fall asleep and spend more time holding him, and also just right from the start try to start feeding him. The lactation consultant this time came in, and she explained, first you're going to have the colostrum. That's okay. That should be enough. Just let him nurse as much as possible. The room was much brighter wherever we were at. I think we're also on a different side of the hospital where the sun came in through the window. The room was a lot bigger. It was clean, but it didn't feel extremely sterile. And plus, the nurses coming in and out were just really friendly and nice. And I think that just had a different energy, and it just made the whole experience better. And I was seeing things from a different perspective. Things at home are going much better. So everything with Connor is going much better. And although he was a child that I was probably the most, and I feel awful for saying this, the most sad about finding out that I was pregnant with, he ended up being the best one. And although we went back home to that home in Mesa with the small room and the bed that's too high for me to get on and like no furniture, and it's like a closed in like cell, because I just felt more at peace with the whole situation, I wasn't as impacted by my surroundings, my physical surroundings. My attitude had changed, and so my whole like perspective on the situation changed. It's just our whole family just feels like this is who we are. This is where, this is our family. This is the starting point of the rest of our lives.